morning.
My name is Julia Coleman, and I'll be doing the welcome and announcements for the month of July. And we're so happy to have all of you worshiping here with us in person and also for those joining online. Before we jump into announcements, we're going to do what we've been doing for the past several weeks now to greet and give each other a good morning. We'll be doing the passing of the peace. So for the next minute or so, I would encourage you to get up, give your neighbors and those sitting around you a wave, a handshake, or a hug, whatever you're comfortable with. Say peace be with you, or good morning, or just a friendly hello. And at the end, we will come back together and sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit and move forward with today's service. Ready for announcements. We have a number this morning. First, the summer mission project. The goal is to gather 50 backpacks for local kids. The approximate cost of each filled backpack is $60. So you can either write a check for the amount that you'd like to donate, just make sure to write summer missions project on the memo line, or you can do it online via Tithely. Just make sure to use the drop down box for the summer missions tag. Art and music camp is going to be from July 24th to 28th at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Over at United Parish. This is for ages 4 through 5th grade. Volunteers are still needed. And the spots for art and music camp, also known as Vacation Bible School, are almost filled. So if there are any Village families who would like their kids to participate, please reach out to United Parish to secure one of those spots. The information for the contact is in the bulletin. There's also a QR code to sign up online. And volunteer workers can contact Sue at United Parish at suepiano49@gmail.com. You do not need to remember that. I promise it is in the bulletin as well. From the Outreach Commission, there's going to be a commission meeting on Thursday at 7 p.m. Via Zoom. There's also going to be a reception next Sunday after worship to honor Pastor Emily, Scott, and Franklin. Please plan to attend that. It will be bittersweet, but we are very excited for them as they take the next step in their journey. From the nominating committee, the nominating survey is still out and available. There are two ways you can fill it out. You can either do the hard copy, which is located on the table in the back of the sanctuary, or the link is in the weekly email that Dave and Carlin sent out. And if you have any questions about that, you can contact me at any time. And we are asking that everyone respond as they're able by July 16th. And last but certainly not least, we would like to welcome Pastor Bruce and Linda to our service today. There is a lovely bio of Pastor Bruce in the bulletin, although I'm sure we're all very familiar with his wonderful work. He was the pastor here for 33 years before he retired in 2018. And we are so pleased to have you both with us today, and happy anniversary. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad. Oh, Lord, let us worship. Let us hear the Lord.
everything I am. And I want to thank the musicians today, because you'll be hearing a little of that patriotic theme going on this Sunday prior to the 4th of July. So please stand and join me as we sing Everything I Am.
Beautiful. I just want you to know. We've come to the time when we share our concerns, the concerns of our hearts, some joys, I hope. And at this point, we will mute the sound for those viewing online. If you have prayer requests, please make them online, and we will read them and follow up. All right, we will bring our online worshipers back. Let's pray together. Dear liberating God, we give you thanks for the freedom in our country, ever mindful that there are those who are not as equal in freedom, due to discrimination, due to economic status, due to life disadvantages. Lead us to seek freedom for all in this country and around the world, where so many live in bondage and fear. Above all, we give thanks for the freedom that comes from you through your truth and your words. Freedom that is safe and eternal, and that can never be taken or limited by this world. Comforting God, we offer the requests expressed this morning. May your comfort and care be in each of these situations, giving strength and courage. And we thank you for the joy of good news. And in this silent moment, we offer to you those we hold in our hearts, but unspoken. Forgiving God, we offer you our regrets, the thoughtless words spoken, the blindness to needs, the noise of this world that captivates us. We seek your mercy and stillness, that we may hear your still small voice that heals our souls. Ever-present God, we thank you for being with us on every journey. In the morning and every evening, you are beside us. We see you at work in the past, and we know you are in our future. Help us to live in the awareness of your presence. Ever-loving God, give us hearts so that the world may hear and know your simple truth. God is love. God is love. And in that love, we offer the prayer of Jesus that he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
I didn't have a chance to put in the program what I was singing. I was traveling for work and didn't get back in time, but as you can see, the name of the song is That Name, and it's about Jesus. Amen. There is a name that is so precious. A name so wonderful to me. This name speaks words Unto my storm cloud, this name speaks calm. Unto my fears, that name is Jesus. Oh, how I love him, the one who gave his life for me because of love so unconditional. I will have life eternally. This name speaks peace unto my storm clouds. This name speaks calm unto my fears. And when I feel that no one loves me, his loving presence is so near. That name is Jesus. Oh, how I love him, the one who gave his life for me because of love so unconditional. I will have life eternally. Praise that name. Praise that name.
Everyone. For those of you who do not know me, I am Rhonda Hamby, and I will be your deacon for the month of July. Okay, our scripture verse today comes from Romans 6, 1 through 4. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. May God add his blessing to this, his holy word.
Linda and I are so grateful to be among you today. We have so many friends in this church that it feels like we're coming home. Village has remained in our prayers since I retired 5.5 years ago. Can you believe it's been that long? As you know, today Linda and I are celebrating our wedding anniversary. 46 years ago today, on July 2nd, 1977, Linda and I were married. The ceremony took place outside of Louisville, Kentucky at Duncan Memorial Chapel, which is located in a cemetery. Now, it may not sound like a great idea to get married in a cemetery, but the chapel actually hosts more weddings than funerals. Linda selected Duncan Memorial Chapel for our wedding site because she liked the looks of the place. Linda did most of our wedding planning because I had already moved to Silver Spring to begin my ministry at Montgomery Hills Baptist Church on George Avenue, just outside the Beltway. Some of you have heard how Linda and I met. I was in seminary at the time in Louisville, pursuing my Master of Divinity degree. Linda was a Louisville native, but we did not meet at the cemetery, at the seminary. We met at a church in Louisville. Linda was a member, and I had been invited to participate in a drama that the church was presenting. Now, the reason I agreed to be in the drama was because most of my friends were graduating that semester, and I had a semester yet to go. The reason I was not graduating with my friends was because I had to miss a semester due to illness. Well, eventually I got better and was able to resume my studies. But that meant that that semester, my friends, including Jim Holliday, Pastor Emily's father, were graduating, and I had a semester yet to go. So to help me deal with my frustration, I accepted the invitation to be a part of a drama at a church on the other side of Louisville. I had no connection with the church, but a seminary classmate invited me to participate. I had a bit part, but the star of the drama was a young woman named Linda. I came to find out that Linda was a widow with a young daughter named Amy. I got to know Linda a little bit during rehearsals for the drama, but it wasn't until after the performance and the cast party that I worked up the courage to call Linda out and ask her out on a date. And for some reason, she said yes. Well, Linda and I went out a couple of times, and then the semester was over and I went home for the summer. And when I returned to Louisville for the fall for my final semester, I shared an apartment with Jim Holliday, Pastor Emily's father, who was doing a work in a church there in Louisville. I worked up the nerve to call Linda again and ask her out for another date. And again, for some reason, she said yes. Well, that date led to another and another and another until I was going over to Linda's house every night. She would put Amy to bed, and then we'd spend time together. By the time I graduated in December, our relationship was going strong. My parents came to Louisville for my graduation. They met Linda and Amy. And then after Christmas, Linda and Amy came to Texas to meet the rest of my family. And everyone in my family was taken with Linda, and especially Amy, who was 3 years old at the time. My grandmother surprised me. She pulled me aside and opened a box, and she put out a ring. It was her engagement ring. And my grandmother gave me her engagement ring to give to Linda once she and I were engaged. There was only one problem. I did not have a job yet. I'd graduated from seminary, but I was still waiting for a church to call me. You see, in the Baptist system, having a seminary degree does not guarantee that you have a job. You have to wait for a church to call you. Well, about 6 weeks after I graduated, I returned to Louisville and had an interview with a pastor who had come from Maryland to interview seminary graduates to serve alongside of him at Montgomery Hills Baptist Church in Silver Spring. The pastor's name was Reverend Don Harris. And about a week after the interview, he called me and he said, "We'd like you to come to Silver Spring to interview with the search committee and to meet the congregation." Well, I did. And shortly after that, the church called me to become the associate pastor at Montgomery Hills, and I moved to Silver Spring, leaving Linda and Amy behind in Louisville to plan the wedding. Well, after we were married on July 2nd, 1977, and after our honeymoon, Linda and Amy moved from Louisville to Silver Spring, and we began our new life together. It was a new life for all of us. Linda became my wife, Amy became my daughter, and Maryland became our new home. Well, the scripture that we read this morning from Romans chapter 6 is also about new life. I know. Pastor Emily preached on this same passage last Sunday. You might remember that she used this as her scripture text. Well, I'm using it again today because it is a message that we really need. With Pastor Emily and her family leaving us after next Sunday, like you, Linda and I are sad to see them go. But God promises us new life. Paul wrote about new life through our faith in Jesus Christ, and he used baptism to illustrate what that new life is about. Paul wrote that being baptized is like dying and rising with Christ. The ritual of baptism is a symbol of death and rebirth. Now, Baptists, unlike most other Christians, practice believers' baptism by immersion. Of more than 2 billion Christians in the world, most do not practice believers' baptism by immersion. Most Christians practice infant baptism. They baptize babies. Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, most mainline Protestant churches baptize babies, not believers, usually by touching a few drops of water on their head or maybe pouring water on them. Those methods of baptism don't really picture what Paul was talking about when he talked about dying and rising with Christ. Paul's metaphor of dying and rising with Christ makes sense only when baptism is by immersion. While most churches baptize babies, Baptists, Pentecostals, some evangelicals baptize believers by immersion. Now, it'd be a lot easier just to baptize by sprinkling a few drops of water on a baby's head. because no personal voluntary faith is involved other than the faith of the parents. Obviously, a baby's too young to make a profession of faith in Christ. By only baptizing believers, we wait for the believer to make a voluntary faith commitment for herself or himself. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes even people who have grown up in the church do not choose to be baptized. But because faith must be personal and voluntary, we don't automatically baptize anyone. It's a matter of personal decision and personal commitment. Going under the water and coming back up again is symbolic of what happens in the life of the believer. We die to the old way of life. We are raised to a new life in Christ. The outward symbol of baptism portrays the inward spiritual new life that takes place in the heart of the believer. In this new life, we don't live just for ourselves. In this new life, we live for God. In this new life, the orientation of our lives is different. Baptism is a sign that we have died to the old way of life, the self-centered way of life, and we've been raised to new life with God. Some years ago, Linda and I visited Alaska, and while we were touring the Denali National Park, we were introduced to sled dogs that transport the park rangers around the park in the winter. The dogs are trained to pull sleds through the snow. Although there was no snow on the ground when we were visiting, the park rangers demonstrated the sled dogs in action. Energetic huskies pulled a sled on wheels around the park ranger station. We learned about the Iditarod sled dog race that takes place every March in Alaska. It's a race of over 1,000 miles from Anchorage to Nome, lasting 8 to 15 days. And each team of 12 to 16 dogs pulls a sled through the snow and difficult terrain. Since the dogs are pulling the sled, the mushers do everything they can to train the dogs to work together and to keep the dogs in top physical condition. For many mushers, their dogs are their passion. The dogs are their primary focus. I saw an interview with one musher, however, who had become a Christian. He said that after he accepted Jesus as his Savior, he realized that he had it backwards. He had been focusing on the dog, D-O-G. But after he accepted Christ, the major focus of his life was on God, G-O-D. We who have been baptized on the basis of our faith in Jesus do not aspire to new life. We have received new life by God's grace. But we nurture that new life so that it can mature and grow. And that's what worship's for. That's what Bible study's for. That's what prayer is for. That's what fellowship with other Christians is for. That's what giving our tithes and offerings is for. That's what serving others in Christ's name is for. All of those practices help us to grow in our faith, to become the persons that God wants us to be. Newness of life is the outgrowth of God's grace in our lives. Now, God's grace means that God accepts us just as we are. But God's grace also means that God does not want us to stay just as we are. Martin Luther, the German priest who began the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago, was himself transformed by God's grace. Martin Luther said to us and all Christians, "Become what you are, Become what you are. You were saved by grace. Now become the person that God created you to be. When Linda and I were married 46 years ago, it was the beginning of a new life for us and for Amy. And when our son Mark was born almost 43 years ago, it was the beginning of another new life. Now, Village Baptist Church is on the precipice of new life. We prepare this week to say goodbye to Pastor Emily and Scott and Franklin. We pray that they will experience new life as they move to Frankfort, Kentucky and join a new church and await the birth of a new baby. Linda and I, like you, have a mix of emotions as we prepare to say goodbye. We're sad to see them go, but we pray the best for them. I appreciate what Pastor Emily said in her resignation letter that was read to the congregation. She said, and I quote, "As I write this, I am sure of two things. One, life is both bitter and sweet. And two, God is always calling us to something new." We're sad to see them go, but we know that this is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story for them or for us. It's not the end of the story for Village Baptist Church. For God is always calling us to something new. The bread and the cup on this table are symbols of new life. The bread and the cup remind us that no matter what happens, God is with us. They remind us that Jesus died for our sins, that we might have new life with God. Our Father, we thank you for the new life that Jesus offers. As we prepare to share the Lord's Supper, may the bread and the cup remind us that Jesus came to find us and lead us home. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. As often as you eat this bread, do so in remembrance of me." As Jesus shared the bread with his disciples, we share his bread with one another. Take and eat. In the same manner, after they'd eaten, Jesus took the cup. And lifting it before them, he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. As often as you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Take and drink. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. We're going to sing a hymn together that celebrates our communion with God and with one another. The hymn is number 466, "Jesus at Your Holy Table." We invite you to stand together as we sing. so blessed to be among you today. I've had a chance to meet some of you before and exchange some hugs and handshakes, but I hope that we can do that with anybody who'd like to come by the door on the way out. Lynn and I are so grateful for this church and your continuing witness and ministry here in this place. And you know that you will continue to be in our prayers as you begin a new chapter in this church's life. We're convinced that God has new life for Village Baptist Church, and we'll be walking alongside you as you move into the new life ahead. And now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us and abide upon us all now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for being here today. You're hurting.
I hurt my back, but it's better.
Oh, good, good. That's wonderful.
Best of news. I'm so happy.
Ma'am, we're just happy to be here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. And you love me well.
Yeah.
So good.
You're great.
So how you feel, man?
Good, man. Yeah, I've had several other things I've been dying of. But I'm making it. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much.
Say that right. It's always good to see you. You know, I joined this church
I remember.
And one of the things that I have realized is that I do a song before I joined, and you committed to do
it. And you keep doing it.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Congratulations.
Thank you.